and sponsors.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Krista Kafer and Matt Dunn.
And welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer sitting in solo tonight. Got my friend, the producer, Don, behind the glass. He's helping me out as well. But we are missing, alas, Matt Dunn. Matt's got the night off, but I am here. And of course, you can always give me a ring at 303-696-1971. And as I promised, I've got that quote attributed to Thomas Jefferson. He said, "To compel a man to furnish contributions of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical." And Thomas Jefferson, I could not agree more. Well, we're having a good night tonight, and our night's going to get a little bit better. We've got on the line Helen Kriebel. She is with the Vernon Kriebel Foundation and the originator of an idea that I think is time has come. And so I am pretty darn excited about the red card solution. Helen Kriebel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I have really been fond of your solution for a while, just because I think it is kind of a third way between the two warring camps on the issue of immigration. If you could, for our audience, sketch out what the red card solution is all about.
I'd love to. It has separated out work permits, which ought to be pretty easy. It should be easy to get a job, against citizenship, which is a very serious matter and should be very hard to get. So what we suggested was, let's outsource work permits to the private sector, to the business sector, because if it has no citizenship and no green card in its particular program, then the federal government doesn't really need to take a role. So we suggested that it be done by the private sector. Employment agencies are very good at putting jobs and people together, so let's turn it over to them. They will make a database so that all employers could put up the jobs that they have available. Workers could put up their qualifications. The agency makes matches for fees on both sides, no taxpayer dollars at all. Then the person who has the has taken a job, comes in for an appointment, goes through a security check with our national criminal database, has his photographs and fingerprints sent in. If he comes out okay on that and he has taken a job, then give him an absolutely secure work permit card and send him on his way to his job. And the number of visas or work permits that are given are determined by the number of workers needed in the United States. So sometimes there'll be very few and sometimes a lot. And so that's the basic plan.
Well, what I like about this plan is it makes it easier to comply with the law, but yet harder to break it. And it seems like right now we've got the reverse, which is it's easy to come here illegally, but hard to come here legally. Tell us a little bit about how hard it is for employers to get employees from outside of the country.
Well, I'm sort of unique in this debate in that I get H-2B visa workers, and it is almost impossible. This year, for example, you're not allowed to apply before 120 days, and it usually takes 150 days to get the visa, so that's a problem. It's very expensive, and if you don't get the workers, you don't get a refund. That's unpleasant. And I put in for 15 H-2B workers. The government, in its infinite wisdom, gave me 8. And of those 3, didn't work out, so I was left with 5. Now, when you need 15 and you've got 5, you've got a very serious problem.
Yes.
And it just doesn't make any sense at all. My workers are people who've worked for me for 20 years. They come for 7 months. They're just terrific, and I can't get them back. And, you know, this problem where employers go to bed at night, if they have to pick up workers somewhere who aren't legal, thinking, you know, I could be raided and I could go to federal prison for 3 years for needing 3 to 5 to 10 workers that I can't get. in a legal method. So, you know, it's criminalizing good American small business or large business people, and it's making it impossible for people from the outside to fill those jobs. And worst of all, it leaves all those people in the U.S. who came here illegally but have absolutely no way to become legal. And they need a path to legality, not citizenship, so they can come out of the shadows. And here's a really easy way, a private sector market-driven solution. No cost to taxpayers, no bureaucrats, no artificial quotas. Simple, simple, simple.
Well, I used to be under the impression that if there were jobs, then Americans would take them, and then somehow if foreigners filled them, that they were putting Americans out. The more I talked to employers, and one of the conversations I actually had with you, I learned, in fact, that that's not so, that there are jobs that are open, but Americans just don't want them.
They don't want them at the lower end, or we don't have enough Americans trained at the high end. So, you know, we really shouldn't worry about that issue. Markets determine what's needed. And in this case, in my case, it's workers who probably don't speak English, probably aren't even literate, but I need them desperately. But, you know, if the PhDs are needed too. And so this effort to pick STEM, the STEM program, as they call it, which is the high-level scientific people that we don't train our kids have not been trained. They don't want to take the jobs in those areas, and foreign workers are desperate for those jobs, but they can't get visas. So it doesn't matter, you know, where you are in that whole group. You know, one thing I'd like to mention is that a lot of people are behind the DREAM Act, and, you know, our hearts feel badly for kids who are brought here as or people who are brought here as children, no fault of their own. We know we need PhDs and science and high-tech industries, so we want to give a special deal to the military, people who've been in the military. But, you know, picking special deals for special groups isn't the way America works. Where America works is all people should be treated equally under the law. Let's fix it for everybody. So that's part of the way I feel about the red card. Let's get out there and fix it.
So if this is, a person could be a biotech engineer and be from India, or they could be an agricultural worker from Guatemala, and all they would have to do is apply at one of these centers, and if the job is open, they could get a card, and they wouldn't either have to come here illegally, or they wouldn't have to just be sort of stuck behind the wall and unable to fill that job.
Absolutely. And the other thing in terms of paying for the cost, people constantly say to me, oh, but it'll cost so much to have these workers here. And my answer is everybody, no matter what you level you get, your salary is, pays the wage tax, the FICA taxes, which is Social Security and Medicare and so on. And these workers aren't eligible for those programs. So essentially we're stealing that money from them. So what I suggest is that FICA taxes are kept in the state in which the worker lives. And our estimate is that that will pay for all costs for foreign workers in each state. So that issue goes off the plate.
One logistical question. Let's say you've applied for 15 workers, or you've put out notice that you need 15 workers. 15 people apply. They go through the background check. They get their cards. They come and they work for you. What if while they're here, one of them decides he would rather work for someone else? What happens in that event?
Well, I think that he should absolutely be able to switch in a perfectly normal American kind of way. What they would do is they'd give 2 weeks' notice. They would call the employment agency that gave them, that issued the red card, their work permit, and say, I am moving to a new job. Please cancel the current card, and I issue another one, because these cards are only for work and they're job specific. But you should be able to change. Anybody should be able to change. We're a country of free people. So I think that's hugely important.
And if a person broke the law, they could have their card revoked.
Yes. You know, like you have a Visa card or an American Express or a MasterCard. If you lose it, you call the company and say, I've lost my card, they cancel it instantly and issue you a new one. It should be that hard.
So there's ways for people to get card replacement if one is genuinely lost, but then and then if a worker starts breaking laws, in that case they would probably lose the privilege of the card and end up going home.
Absolutely. And you know, once this
I want to pause you for a second. We're coming up on a break, and I want to plumb back into this issue if you don't mind.
Glad to do it.
Okay, we're just going to take a couple of minutes and talk to our sponsors. You're listening to Backbone Radio, back at a jiff.
You're listening to Backbone Radio with Matt and Krista.
And welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer, and we are talking with Helen Kriebel of the Vernon Kriebel Foundation about the Red Card Solution, a solution that I thought of immediately after the election, well, after I'd cried for a while about the election at any rate, and the fact that we are really looking seriously at immigration reform. I'm not for amnesty, but I do acknowledge that something must be done. And my mind went straight to the red card solution. Welcome back to the show, Helen Kriebel.
Thank you.
Now, do you have a website set up that folks can learn more about the red card solution?
Yes, we do. It's redcardsolution.com.
Well, I hope that folks do visit that and get a few more details. But you said something to me over the break that I thought was very interesting. You said that you never met an individual, an employee who wanted to be illegal, and you never met an employer who wanted to hire illegal immigrants. Unpack that for me a little bit, if you could.
Well, I think we're a nation, we're a law-abiding nation, and we would like to be able to do that. But for employers, if you don't get your visas and Americans don't want to fill those jobs, what are you supposed to do? There's no mechanism. And I think people fail to empathize with employers. If you've got a million Americans who are living in fear of criminalization simply to run their business, which is their American dream, but they can't find labor, that's a terrifying thing. And it's as bad as it is for people who are here illegally in whatever capacity, who have no way to get legal inside the United States or even outside, but are working here often to save their families from starvation. So they are getting a bad deal. Employers are getting a bad deal because there's no mechanism, and that's what the red card really supplies. You know, Krista, there's one other thing that is important for people listening to realize, which is that you're going to get your visas through an employment agency and pay a fee on both sides to get a legitimate red card work permit. It's Advantage American, American worker. Because tell me who goes to a headhunter, an employment agency, and pays fees if they can find the worker in their own community.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what I can imagine is, say, out in the Eastern Plains, we've got quite a bit of agriculture. I can imagine that there are employers, family farms, small farmers, who need a group of people to do work at harvest time. They've advertised in the local paper. They've put it out there on Craigslist. They've tried desperately to get a few Americans to come help pick those crops, and they haven't gotten a single taker. Now they're sort of faced with the prospect, let their entire, you know, investment, their farm, their products, their fruit and vegetables rot in the fields, or they can hire someone illegal. Meanwhile, there's an illegal worker here who needs to feed their family, who's faced with another no-win situation. They can go to work illegally, or they can try to make their way back to their country of origin empty-handed. This is a way of saying, you know what, we can find a way to make the necessary hiring of employees for these places legal, and we can make it at no cost to the American citizen. So in this particular situation, you've got the farmer and the worker. What would the worker who's here now have to do in order to be legally hired by that farm?
Well, when we did a poll, which is now about 4 years ago, Americans 75% said that it was amnesty if people who'd entered the country illegally could get right with our laws inside the country. So our recommendation was have these employment agencies outside our borders. They don't have to go home to their home countries, but they must go by appointment outside the borders, run through the security check, prove they have a job or take a job so they're self-supporting, and return to the United States according to the rule of law, which could all be done in 48 hours. Because remember, you don't have bureaucrats who have no incentive to do 100 people a day versus 2 people a day, but a private business has every incentive in the world to do it and to do it well and quickly. So that would be our recommendation. They would go through that process properly, and it would work for all people in this country illegally who have not committed a crime and have a job. And that should be the only criteria, which, again, is against this, let's do a special deal for this group or a special deal for that group and let everybody else suffer. This solves the problem for everybody in the country now who is undocumented and anybody who wants to come into the country. And there'll be no wait list. If you are a PhD and there is a job posted on that website and you want to take it, then apply for it. You get it. You go through the simple process and you're here in 48 hours with a legitimate work permit. So it's good for people outside of the country. It's good for the undocumented inside the country. It's good for employers, and it's outstanding for border security, because the only way you'll have border security is if people who are looking for work enter a gate, and that leaves just the bad guys on the border for our border agents to capture, and it will be a whole lot easier because it might be $50,000 a year instead of $400,000 to $500,000 a year.
What I can see is that the illegal immigrants that are here in this country, the vast majority who are not criminals, will just, you know, take that bus ticket, probably provided by their employer, go get that legal card, come back to work, and the remainder of the people who don't want to get legal probably have a reason for not wanting to get legal, and that they're probably criminals.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, when you have a chance to get legal, to prove yourself, and you don't take it, or if you're an employer and you have a chance to get legal workers and you don't take that opportunity, then you deserve to be criminalized. And our laws should go into full effect against those people. But the people who really want to obey the law but just can't find a way to do it would have this mechanism. And on the other side, the citizenship side, which is so important, we can't devalue our citizenship. We can't give it away to people who don't know what it is to be an American, who don't understand that America is an idea, and that we the people, with a responsibility to preserve freedom and opportunity as individuals. The government reports to us. If they don't understand that, then they are not in a position to be offered citizenship. They're not Americans. An American, being an American, has nothing to do with where you come from and your culture, your language, your color, your religion. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the belief in our founding principles. And so just passing it out to tens of thousands of people, millions of people who don't know those things and don't have allegiance to the United States, that would be a terrible thing. So fixing citizenship and what we demand of people who want to be citizens, putting the right process in, is something that's going to take a little longer. But just because you're in the work permit group doesn't mean you can't join the citizenship group at some point.
You know, I love this idea, and I can't hear enough about it, but we're at the end of the show, or at the end of this hour. I'd love to have you back on again. I think we cannot get this idea out there more than we are. Thank you so much, Helen Krebel, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Krista. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Backbone Radio.